An extended lockdown, mandatory quarantine, increased fines, policing and enforcement. We're staying with our main story, the announcement of new measures coming on the day the number of deaths in the state passed the 3,000 mark. The Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath, joins us. And Minister, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Mary.
Now, we've heard throughout the programme about the proposals agreed by Cabinet yesterday about quarantining, whether that's at home or in hotels, and the other measures as well. But what I would really like to hear from you this morning would be the nuts and bolts of implementation of what you passed by around the Cabinet table yesterday. When will you have these new measures in place?
Good morning, Mary. Well, yesterday we had the government decision, and now all of government will be supporting the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, in the work that he needs to lead in putting those decisions into effect. And so the focus now will be on the operational and logistical issues associated with implementing these decisions. And these are really important decisions in relation to mandatory quarantining of people coming home to Ireland in state-run or controlled hotels as such, for those coming from South Africa or Brazil, and those presenting with no negative PCR test taken in the previous 72 hours. And of course, for all others who are arriving with a negative PCR test, the requirement for them to quarantine at home. So there will be some legislation required for aspects of this, particularly for Irish and other EU citizens. But other measures, including the regulations, can be put into effect immediately. And the focus now will be on operationalising these key decisions.
But it appears, Minister, that you are out of step with the public. You're certainly out of step with what the opposition wants in pushing for a mandatory quarantining for all arrivals. And you're even out of step with some of your ministers around the Cabinet table. So why are you insisting on this two-step approach, the home quarantining and the hotel quarantining in very specific cases?
I think that the steps that we are about to take are really significant. I mean, this will be the first time that there will be mandatory quarantining for people arriving into Ireland, many of whom will now be quarantined in hotels. Others who have a negative PCR test taken in the previous 3 days will be quarantining in their own home. And I think we do need to put this in context. I mean, it is alongside the extension of the Level 5 restrictions to the 5th of March. And we are making, I think, very good progress, even though our hospital system is going to remain under very significant pressure for a period of time yet. And look, the number of people who are arriving into Ireland is now quite small. If you look at the HPSC data, international travel is not cited as being at all a significant source of infection and the transmission of this virus. If I take my own airport in Cork, for example, there is one route now being served by one airline with three flights per week. So obviously it's much more than that in Dublin, but I think you do need to put this into perspective and proportion. We are addressing the level of risk that is associated with international travel. People arriving here are going to be quarantining for 14 days in the vast majority of instances. We do need to make sure we keep our critical supply chains open. There are people who have to come in and out of Ireland for really essential purposes. Those need to be facilitated, and we are acting here in a manner that we believe will contribute to the overall national effort to suppress this virus.
In all of this, Minister, would you accept policing is going to be really important?
I would. I think that the vast majority of people are compliant in terms of the rules, but some are not. And what we are going to do now is to increase the fixed notice penalty for people who are travelling further than they should because they're going to an airport to take a non-essential trip. But it does annoy people.
Well, you know, there would be arguments with that. And Roisin Shortall would say, Minister, what we're doing here is continuing through rolling lockdowns. We're now in a third wave, a third lockdown. And, you know, we get to March the 5th And what's the plan then?
Well, the first priority now is to take the pressure off our hospital system. And we're seeing some really welcome signs of progress with the number of people in hospital, but still well over 200 people in critical care. And so when we see the daily case numbers falling, that's a positive. We see the positivity rate falling, the close contacts falling, but there's a significant time lag before those improvements work their way through to the hospital system. So even in a month's time, and hopefully our daily case numbers will be very low, there will still be significant pressure on our frontline healthcare staff. So
I'll come back to your plan post March 5th, but I want to stay with policing for just a minute. Dermot O'Brien from the Garda Representative Association was on the programme earlier, and he was raising questions. He was saying you've put policy before the discussions about what your expectations of implementation are. But let's hear him raising questions about the policing aspects of the plans.
What the government are doing, they're rolling out policies first. They're not giving due consideration to the practicalities and the implementation of them. I mean, if Gardaí have to enter hotels and rooms, it comes back to the fact that if someone is in a room, that's their private area that they're in. Where's our entitlement to go in? Our entitlement could be there to knock on the door and ask a question. But I keep coming back to the fact if someone is vaccinated, if someone is quarantining in a hotel, there may be the potential there for COVID-19 to be there. And our members have been asked to expose themselves to that as they are on a daily basis. So I come back to the point about the practicalities of it. What's going to be implemented for our members before they can go and do this? But we're as much in the dark as you are at the moment. There's vagueness around the whole thing.
Dermot O'Brien there, Minister, they're in the dark. And that is just one example of what's being raised around this plan and the lack of clarity.
And that is why when government is making decisions, it has to make decisions that can become operable quite quickly. And so we don't govern through sound bites. We govern by making decisions that we can actually implement. And that is why
you're dependent on Dermot O'Brien's members to implement these measures that you cleared at Cabinet yesterday. You're dependent on them to presumably accompany people to hotels. You are dependent on them to turn up at people's houses to see that they are quarantining as per the requirements of law. And as Dermot O'Brien also said, they're not vaccinated.
Yeah, and I have no doubt, Mary, that the Gardaí, who are doing a fantastic job, will fulfil their responsibilities and will apply the law of the land. That is what they have always done. And what we will see now is the Minister for Health working with the Minister for Justice and all of the state agencies to lay out how and when this plan becomes operational. And it will be operational in the coming weeks. There are some aspects of it, including regulations, that can be put in place this week. Other elements, including for EU citizens, will require primary legislation. So, look, the points that he makes are well made and we hear them, but government has to make decisions, and then we work with the agencies of the state to go about the implementation of those decisions, and that will be our focus now.
Do you think that this government can continue with rolling lockdowns, or do you believe that there is another way?
So this government wants to have a sustained period of having the virus numbers very low. We want to suppress this virus over a prolonged period of time, because we know what happens when you have socialisation, when you have people congregating. This virus is relentless and it will spread, and we have various variations of the virus now. We have the confirmed presence of the UK variant. It's now the dominant variant. Mm-hmm. At about 63% of all cases here now. We also have confirmation of the South African variant. So we are going to be cautious, and we make no apologies for that, because our first duty is to protect people and protect public health, to save lives and to take pressure off our frontline healthcare staff. So we want to keep the numbers as low as we possibly can. That is the fundamental principle of the government strategy. Okay. You know, we have listened to
strategy.
Some
Let's
we've listened to some
strategy.
Voices from opposition, Mary, who a number of weeks ago, just a short few weeks ago, were advocating that the pubs be opened, and now they're advocating zero COVID. You know, government can't operate like that. Government has to make decisions, be consistent and see them through. And that's
But they are advocating a plan. They're saying zero COVID. What is your plan?
Well, I'm not sure any of them have defined what zero COVID means.
Well, Roisin Shorthall set it out earlier that you get it down, you and you then keep it down, you close off the borders, she said, and you reopen when you've mastered it.
Well, first of all, NPHET, who are the public health experts and who, you know, influence and shape and guide government decisions, have not recommended zero COVID. In fact, when we did question Dr. Tony Houlihan, Professor Philip Nolan, and this has been done publicly by journalists as well, you know, they have set out their own critique of what they understand to mean zero COVID. And I think the key concern is that it is not realistic or achievable.
It's not in your thinking.
What we're going to do is to suppress the transmission of this virus. We need to get the numbers low, and we want to keep them low.
Just briefly, when will we see the beginning of the reopening of the schools, starting, we're told, with schools for children with additional needs?
That is a government priority, and Minister Norma Foley is now working quietly behind the scenes with all of the education partners with a view to reaching agreement.
1 week's time, 2 weeks' time, three weeks' time?
I think there will certainly be news and an update as to developments on that front within the next week or so. We recognise the imperative of getting our schools back open again, starting with children with special educational needs. It's a key government priority. Okay. We're determined to achieve it, but that will need to be done in collaboration and agreement with the stakeholders in education.
Minister Michael McGrath, thank you for your time on the programme this morning. 28 minutes past 8.